Okay, hello, Morro Bay, and welcome to the March 12th edition of the Public Works Advisory Board. Please be advised that we have a quorum. Everybody's in attendance. And before we get started, let's have a moment of silence. All right, thank you. As we get started, before we go to any announcements, well, first of all, do we have any announcements from the board? Anybody want to say anything? Nope. All right. So through announcements, and we move to public comments. But before I ask you to come up, if you want to do public comments, Rob, is there a certain way you'd like to do public comments tonight?
You know, for this meeting, it's going to be pretty – this is – I'm going to try to conduct it more of in a workshop style, so we're not going to probably keep track of time, although try to keep your comments succinct and to the point. But if you have a comment to make, just come up to the mic, ask a question. You know, it's meant to facilitate more discussion than to be a one-way communication type meeting where we want to get communications going both directions for this meeting. So this is a one topic meeting. So it's a special meeting over water conservation and water retrofit options. I'm going to give a brief update on our water supply and then move into the subject at hand.
Okay. And with that said, would you like to invite people to come up right now and just speak to the topic at large, or would you like to do your presentation and do it that way?
Why don't we go through the presentation rather quickly, and then we can have the discussion. I think that would work out best.
Okay. So, folks, unless anybody has a pressing need to come up and do public comment right now, okay, looks like we're in agreement. Okay, so with that said, we go to our item A, which is workshop. So go for it there, Rob.
So I'm just going to go, probably many of you have seen this slideshow or a similar one to a location of 1,313 acre feet a year. We purchased a drought buffer of 2,290 acre feet a year, and then we have water and storage in the I think the last time I gave this presentation, I said it was all in San Luis Reservoir. Come to find out from the state, it's not all in San Luis Reservoir. Some of it's in the system, and some of that system is north of the San Joaquin River Delta, so it's not going to be pumped south of the Delta this year. Issues with state water is it is an interruptible water supply, and allocations have fluctuated over the years, and I didn't update this amount. The 2014 amount has been reduced to zero water, so no water is going to be pumped through the Delta this year. Last year we were at 35% allocation. With our drought buffer, that meant we got about 100% of our water, state water. 65% in 2012, we were fine. 80% in 2011, we were good then. Groundwater has historically been Morro Bay's water source. Two groundwater basins that we draw from, the Choro Creek groundwater basin, a little over 1,000 acre feet at 5 wells are permitted in the Choro Creek basin. Issues with Choro Creek basin is requires the stream flow in Choro Creek to be above 1.4 CFS. I think this last week it might have inched above 1.4 CFS for a little bit based on runoff and maybe lower pumping in the valley, so it caused an increase in stream flow. The Choro basin wells can be high in nitrate, and there are connections outside of the city limits on the way that pipeline into town that make using that water problematic when it's high in nitrates, because we basically feed those connections non-potable water before it can get into town and be blended and make that water potable. Our Morro Valley wells are down by Lila Kaiser Park. 591 acre feet a year is permitted, 4 active wells. Those are also high in nitrates. Those serve mainly as feed water for the brackish water RO system, or at our desal plant, we have two halves to that desal plant. One half will treat salt water, high pressure. The brackish water RO is something we have recently installed through a California Department of Health Services grant, funded a portion of it, to put in these lower pressure trains that are more efficient in removing the lower salt levels in those brackish water wells and also the nitrates. Desalinization plant, permitted capacity, when it was permitted, 645 acre feet a year. The feed water comes from five saltwater wells along Embarcadero Road. There's problems with iron and manganese fouling. The wells are high in iron and manganese, and we need to run pre-filtration before they go into the membranes at the desal plant. Only ran with feed from the saltwater wells during the early and mid-90s, and then that state water came on board, and we stopped using that. The coastal permit for the saltwater wells was only issued in 1994 for 5 years, and the city did not do what was required to make that a permanent facility. Currently, we have made application to make those facilities permanent, and we've submitted our information that coastal staff asked for, and we're hoping to get a positive response near the end of this month from coastal. Conservation, it's probably the least expensive source of new water. New is in quotes because it's basically water that we don't use, and make that available for other uses. Morro Bay, since we've been tracking water use in our database, the historic high was in 1970, used 193 gallons per person per day in the city. Currently, we're using a little under 120 or 117 gallons per person per day, which is very low when you compare ourselves to statewide. Coastal California is much lower than the rest of the state, and I think that's because we've had to be lower. Our supplies are much more limited than the rest of the state, and coastal California has been metered much longer than other places in California have. We continue to roll out more information on water conservation. Here's there's salt that's added by the community through water softeners, and then salt that is part not added but becomes formed through the treatment process. So the water ends up being higher in dissolved solids going out than it did coming in. Those high, especially chloride levels, can be damaging to crops, particularly in one of the areas we're thinking about using them. Avocados are a particularly sensitive plant. And then cost will be always a factor with reclaimed water. I'm going to switch slideshows because this is kind of repetitive as we go into the next slideshow. The city has implemented mandatory water conservation measures, and we went to the next severe level, which is severe, based on the governor's declaration and the council decision to go to back in 2009, anytime state water is below 35% delivery, the city goes to water conservation levels, directs the public services director to set what levels that are appropriate for the basically water supply that we're in, until we get to the very highest level of water conservation, which would be the emergency level. That would mean that we would have a very limited water supply, maybe weeks or days. Then the council would prescribe maximum amounts of water that could be used at for each customer. like I said before, currently we're under severe, severe restriction levels, and this slide goes through the gist of what we're trying to do in conserving waters. As you can see, that you know we don't want water to be running off the site into the street and running down the street. Don't want water to be used for cleaning hard surfaces, driveways, sidewalks. My favorite, washing of the cars by hose is prohibited. Use of the bucket is allowed. Still wondering how that water gets into the bucket. Outdoor watering is prohibited between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. And then we do the odd-even watering schedule. Uses of fresh water, which to wash down boats, docks, etc., is prohibited. This one has been particularly troublesome on the waterfront, and we're hoping that we've talked to other port districts, harbors in California, and they don't actually go this far. They just want people to minimize that water use, and they have the next one. They require all the hoses to have shutoffs on them. Restaurants are only to serve water upon request. Can't empty or fill your swimming pool. That is unless there's a structural need to do so. And visitor-serving facilities display our conservation measures, and we provided cards for restaurants and hotels so that they and vacation rentals so they could have those to display to their customers. We're not alone in water conservation measures. Basically, all the communities in the Central Coast, maybe with the exception of San Luis Obispo, have some water conservation measures implemented, and they're pretty much the same ones we have. I think all these conservation measures probably came from the same source. Our ordinance dates from about the early 1990s, late 80s. These are conservation measures that I've seen my entire career, and we're hoping that maybe we can do better than that, and hoping we get some public comment with some ideas that we haven't heard so far, with ideas that maybe are creative, innovative, and work for the community. But you can see the list of conservation measures for the other cities are very similar to ours. Local rebate programs. Most cities have some sort of rebate program, including washing machine rebate programs, toilet rebate programs. Paso, Tascadero, Rio Grande, and Grover have a cash for grass for cash program, so that you can remove your lawn and get paid to do so. Atascadero has a pressure-reducing valve program, rain barrels. Not that there's no grass in Morro Bay, but we thought it might be better to broaden that, and replacement of non-native plants with drought-tolerant native plants. You know, mini hot water heaters, point-of-use hot water heaters, tankless water heaters, and then the hot water recirculating pumps are some of the ideas that we've seen and heard. Other options, you know, more education and public outreach to conserve water. And then if it becomes necessary and we're not seeing that conservation, to increase our water conservation levels to those higher levels. Damaris, could you put in that there's
another one underneath?
Yeah. It's just that, I think it just says Morro Bay. This is a, we talked a little bit about public education, and we were contacted by a company called WaterSmart.
It's a PDF.
Yeah. That's the one.
It's not a PowerPoint, it's a PDF.
Right. I think I did say PowerPoint, but it is a...
I thought you were going to try and click the right
So WaterSmart is a software company that, I'm going to use my least favorite phrase, that's become community-based social marketing, where basically where you're trying to change people's behavior through this social marketing. But this is something that they do. And they provide information that compare you to your neighborhood, provide education, and then tips for easy actions to conserve water based on your specific cases. So it's tailored to meet the individual customer's needs. And all the data inputs that we're talking about are, you know, we take the meter data, give that to them. We give them information on rebates, incentives, any citation programs, which we don't have here, surveys. They input real estate information and weather and climate data to customize the information that goes out to the water customer. And customers, they encourage to sign on to this electronic portal. There's a trigger too. Okay. This electronic portal where people can customize their dashboard and look at reports and other information that would be appropriate. Also, for those people that don't sign up for the electronic version, they would get a printed copy. And this company has provided from as large as East Bay Mud to, you know, small cities the size of Morro Bay. And these are the outcomes that they see. A good percentage of water savings, but even a better percentage of people that are more involved with the choices that they're making for water. And higher customer satisfaction, that's them trying to sell it to us, that this is kind of their sales brochure. And these are, you know, some of the things that they've experienced, explaining the water use, showing ways to save money on your water bill, and providing tips to reduce water use. And it's priced based on the number of meters, who receives print, who receives email. So that's one of the items that we'll be looking into to assist in our water conservation efforts. And with that, I've talked for long enough. I'm going to turn it over to the board for questions, and we'll open it up to the audience for comments and questions, and we'll take notes here and synthesize all this information and bring it back to City Council with some recommendations.
All right. With that said, then how about if we do some quick questions, if there's any quick questions from the board?
I have a couple.
And then we'll open it up to the public because we have some folks waiting. So you ready to go, Marlis?
Yeah, sure. I would just like to ask if you're statewide or maybe it depends on where you live.
It depends on where you live.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, if I could go ahead. When you're talking about your seawater reverse osmosis units, the ones using those salt wells down on the Embarcadero, you spoke to the fact that you had a permit that allowed 645 acre feet per year. Was that based on environmental constraints, or what actually set that acre footage amount?
It was based on plant capacity.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is conservation's a noble cause, but it's a Band-Aid. It's not the final fix usually in a situation. I'm looking at the production of water.
Yeah.
And the question I see you chasing, you know, things like the changing out the toilets and everything else, which cause other grief to your collection system. I was thinking, why not be collecting money to upgrade to a larger facility if you could safely take that seawater and convert it into, you know, potable water. Am I missing something? That's what I'm trying to figure out in what I'm hearing, because like I said, conservation's noble. I think it's a problem with the toilets. I think with the water heaters you brought up, that's probably a good example of more ways you could conserve water. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if everybody knows you run into problems when you're not putting enough water down the sewer pipe. It starts to separate out, and these guys have to go out with Vactor trucks, and then you start using fresh water to try and clean out your sewer lines.
So at our existing desal plant, 645 acre feet of salt water, we just did some improvements on our brackish water side. Full production is about 1,100 acre feet with everything running. Our community uses about 1,170 acre feet of water a year. We can kind of meet the non-conserving demands, but it becomes very expensive water because of the horsepower requirements of the running the desal plant.
Okay, so there is a cost involved in making it, as opposed to, say, I realize with state water, you're already stuck with a certain portion of the bill, and then, you know, you pay it whether you take the water or
right.
not. I was just trying to see from a standpoint of, rather than having developers flip out a bunch of, like I said, toilets and things of that nature, that money go into a fund for a capital improvement project mm-hmm. that somehow actually either produces more water or gets into your infrastructure, like your pipelines and fixing leaks, or you know, other things that money could be used for, probably in a more fruitful manner.
Yeah, and that would be something that we would look at as perhaps an in lieu conservation.
I guess that's where I was trying to drive this dog a little bit, because with the conservation you brought up, it was 193 acre feet or 193 GPM per day.
Yeah,
historic high. You're down to 117. At some point, there's a law of diminishing returns. You can only conserve so much, and then you're going to hit the wall.
Yeah, about the next thing, you know, if there were a declared emergency, you could potentially get down to under 100 if you restricted only indoor water use.
Right, but it seems like you've taken the larger part of it from that 193 down to 117, and 117, that's the number I know mostly on the Central Coast for water usage.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard throughout all the cities. Thank you.
I wanted to know if you felt that permanent conservation is a mindset that, as Californians, like you, I grew up a native here, I grew up in it, and conserving water is just always, we live in a desert and we all know that, and there is no water. But one of my neighbors brought up the fact, you know, the next time we get a good rain or El Nino comes this winter, or next winter, and then everybody's going to be back to using all the water and washing their cars and doing it. And I just was wondering, is there some way that we can, when we're promoting conservation, that we can promote it as a long-term type of situation?
I think keeping the message out there, like with something like this water, I'm not meaning to be an advertisement for WaterSmart, but they were the latest, greatest, and I think they've had success across the state doing this. Something like that, where you continue to get reminders about things that you can do, easy things. That's their methodology, is getting those easy tips out there. You know, they're not going to recommend, and they tailor it to, if you complete some of their surveys, they tailor it to your individual use. So if you tell them that you don't have any yard, they're not going to keep reminding you to.
Let's and everything. It's very accommodating.
Thank you.
On the tankless water tanks that you can put underneath your kitchen sink and stuff, I hear good things about them, and then I also hear that they don't last very long for the cost of them. They have a tendency to clog. So if we're recommending something like that to the community, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't have any direct experience, but
perhaps one of the gentlemen out in the audience can maybe has some more. One of the contractors. We'll let, when you come up, if you have any ideas about tankless water heaters and you want to share those with the board, maybe you could share that information. I don't happen to have one, I don't have any direct experience.
Yeah.
I see a lot of them going in new construction, though. Oh, we do have one at City Hall, but it's continued to work, but it's only been in for a year or so.
Ron, was that the last question yet?
Okay. In terms of, I think we're kind of touching on a lot of different issues of conservation, so maybe how about if we open it up, because I thought looking through your staff report that we wanted to talk about water offsets for contractors, and so would you like to have questions come, or would you like to approach that subject now?
I think, you know, some of the retrofit ideas would also be suitable for offsets. So I think at this point in time, it'd be good to hear from the audience members on ideas and questions that they might have regarding the programs or potential programs that might be moving forward to City Council.
Okay, cool. All right. Hey, folks, if you could, as you come up to the microphone, state your name and then express your ideas. We don't have necessarily a time limit right now, and we're kind of doing an open forum. But please keep that in mind, because I guess what we're going to do, Rob, is get these ideas and we can hash them out also.
Yeah, we'll talk about them, synthesize them, and then bring those back to City Council.
Cool. So first up.
I'm Gordon Thomas. I talked with Christine Johnson beforehand. There is no reason to believe that the rain is going to come. And it may be actually a period of 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, who knows? I have a couple of proposals that I'd like to make for you, and I'd like to have the time to have you evaluate my work past so that you'll know that what I am about to advocate is valid. I've lived in this area over a quarter of a century, and I'm a retired physicist. At present, I'm at the Senior Center at Casa de Flores in Morro Bay. I've worked for 9 different corporations, including Man to the Moon projects and Voyager 1 and 2, which was sent into space more than 30 years ago. It's an equipped laboratory. And with radio and television capabilities, it's now entering the cosmos about 50 billion miles away. On board are signatures of scientists, including mine, along with pictures of human beings and a description of life on Earth. Conducted various symposiums, written 2 books, and written articles in magazines. I've taken courses in nuclear physics and radioactivity, and I still support the production of electricity through nuclear reactors, use of wave technology to produce electrical power is potential, but has serious problems, as you know. For one, any bad weather could cause a complete failure of the system and could result in a damage that would be expensive or complete annihilation of the system. I recommend desalting the ocean for fresh water for this immediate area so that we don't have to rely on other expensive fresh water. The power plant would be an excellent choice for this, for the desalting operation. It has the pipes already installed. The burning of the gas causes no pollution problems, hence the stacks can stay or can be removed. I also recommend a massive desalt possibly to other states. Thank you very much for your attention.
Mr. Thomas, thank you very much.
Good evening. Chris Parker, local architect and builder. First, to address the tankless water heater situation, I think the ones you're talking about are a little bit different than what Rob was mentioning. We're talking about whole house tankless water heaters, not the ones that go just right underneath your sink. Those do tend to corrode up and have build-up problems. But I believe you're talking about the whole house tankless water heaters for...
We have both of those on there, the whole house and the under the sink version.
Yeah, we've been doing the whole house style probably for the past 5 to 10 years, and they've been working really well. One suggestion I have on another method of hitting the equivalency units is, because I think the problem is being able to quantify it somehow to get the credit, possibly a gray water system just to the washer machine. Then you'd be able to quantify that and have some way to balance that out. Because I believe you were talking 140 toilets, I think, for one equivalency unit. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pretty unfeasible.
I think at this point it's pretty unfeasible. So obviously we need other methods. Rainwater collection would be great if we had rainwater. Though quantifying that for each year is the difficult part. But I would suggest maybe a gray water system's great, but for the whole house, that's a little more difficult sometimes. But a simple one out of the washer machine would work great. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob, are there also, that's going to bring up, I think, because gray water is going to come up a number of times, there are some mitigating circumstances using reintroducing gray water, correct? Like if we use bath water and washing machine water?
Well, gray water is allowed under the plumbing code. They're just, for using it for irrigation, you just have to do it subsurface, so you have to have a layer of soil or mulch on top of your emitters so that there's no contact with the ponding gray water.
Anybody else would like to come up and speak?
Hi, my name is Paul Nagy. I'm from Morro Bay. I kind of gave some of these ideas to the city council last night, but then I heard that this was the place to really come and share. I don't have any great ideas for water savings. It's pretty difficult. I noticed like some other communities like Cambria is using non-potable water to wash their fire trucks and emergency vehicles, probably Morro Bay could do that too, but I'm not sure what the source of non-potable water is here. And a question for you is there water that comes out of the wastewater treatment plant that's clean enough to do that?
Not presently. Wouldn't be allowed for vehicle washing. But we do have non-potable wells that we could employ for. We've already talked with our fire department about getting them a wharf head hydrant that they could fill a water tender up with non-potable water, especially for training purposes, so that they don't need to use potable water for training.
Well, that's a great idea. The city of San Luis Obispo has, I know for construction, there's a site that you can go to on Prado Lane where you take your water tanks for use of construction, like say we're doing compaction or other dust control, that kind of thing, where you can just drive up and load up your water tank, a trailer or whatever, and take it to the job. So you're using this non-potable water all the time. So one thing is to see what we can upgrade our use of non-potable water into to where we're using some fresh water. And then, we do have those great programs already going, the rebates, and there's landscape water ordinances, the retrofitting. Let's see. The hot water research system might be a good one. I was hoping a friend of mine was going to be here to kind of explain a little more of that. That might even be something that could be retrofitted into older homes, a hot water research system, so that you're not turning on the water and waiting for the hot water to get there. That could be retrofitted into old homes. So other than that, a reasonable increase in water impact fees could raise money and could be used for all those good ideas. Maybe we could try poking some new test holes. How about that site up on Panorama, that 10-acre site? Has anybody ever tried that up there? Maybe there's water up there. just we got to try, you know, some new sources of water. Maybe money could also go towards cleaning up those Morro and Choro water basins that are now can't be used because they're contaminated. And, of course, then money could also be more like a moratorium. So I'd hate to see that kind of thing happen. And then other than that, I don't know, maybe you could help suggest to the council that keep in mind, since it's such a small amount of water usage, a new construction, that people who are already in the mill or in the planning process, who've already paid for permit fees and are kind of waiting to go through the process, they were never told about what this might be, what might be coming down. So hopefully those people could be exempt from whatever the council decides to do. All right, thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Kirk Najarian. I'm basically going to be piggybacking on a lot of things that were said here. Number one, I think conservation is very important. I mean, if everybody pitches in, starts conserving, that's definitely going to help. You know, the next thing is to work on generating new sources of water. I think we need to become self-sufficient and not rely on, you know, other sources of water. We see what happened right now with state water, and now we're panicking and trying to figure out where to pull from and our wells that we have. The other issue is to come up with some in lieu of fees, because with the offsite retrofits that may be tossed around, unless they're achievable and something that could actually happen, we're basically just going to be setting a moratorium. Because, you know, we've already went through the retrofitting aspects here in town in, you know, the mid-90s. So most homes have been retrofitted. It's already a requirement that every time a home sells in Morro Bay that it's retrofitted. So everything in it's already low flow. So all we're going to do is bring it down a little bit less flow. So, you know, the bottom line is to try to work on being self-sufficient, generating some new water sources. And, you know, the retrofit rebate programs are great. So at least when people remodel, you know, all the different things from tankless hot water heaters to toilets to recirculating pumps to pressure regulators, you know, that they can come in and at least know they're going to get some money back if they replace their old worn out fixtures and parts to their home. So anyway, that's what I had to say. And you know, with not that many homes being built, you know, I'd hate to see something come in and pass to where it definitely does set a moratorium and put even more people out of work around here. Thank you.
Good evening, Kathy Novak. I just want to comment on the recirculating pumps for just a moment, because it's been mentioned a couple of different times. I checked in with my house. My house was built in 1998, so it's not that old. But I checked about 5 or so years ago about trying to install a recirculating pump in my house for the hot water. I was going to have to tear out the inside of the walls and replumb my house to be able to accomplish that. So it's a task that would not necessarily be achievable for everybody. However, there is another opportunity, and if you are talking about any kind of a retrofit program or a rebate program, you might want to look into it. My neighbor next door got a unit over at Home Depot. It was about $150. He ended up installing two, one upstairs and one downstairs. But it's a type of a valve that actually gets inserted in underneath your sink in the hot water side and essentially acts as a recirculating pump. So there's another alternative for people that don't want to tear off the inside of their walls in their house to try to put in a recirculating pump system. So it might be something you might want to consider when you're talking about any of these programs. Thank you.
Michael Lucas. I'm a registered architect in Maryland, but I live here now. I just want to endorse anything that we do that involves conservation. I think my colleague talked about gray water systems. You know, I think if you can look at how can you have, you know, 60% of the water coming in and still get all of the same things accomplished, that's a major accomplishment. It's not something that's very easy to do as a retrofit, though, but I think it's very easy to do if you have homes of a certain size and a certain scale. It's not unusual for us to find some of these larger homes coming into town now. And I think people that start to build 4, 5 bathroom, you know, 6 bedroom houses and things like that, I don't think it's onerous to ask them to put in something that's a gray water system that might actually introduce the use of a third of the water of that size house if one didn't exist. So I think people with means, it's something that we should consider requiring, and I think we should always incentivize it for anybody who wants to go to the trouble of rebuilding at a large scale. It's almost impossible to do a gray water system effectively in an existing house. Some of these things we're talking about tonight might be good, but we couldn't expect a lot out of that. But I think with new permits, it would be something we might want to take a look at.
Fresh water withdraws or used for irrigation purposes.
A little bit of clarification. Okay. Okay, do we have any other further public comments?
Thank you very much. Very educational. Appreciate that. Some thoughts generated that I wrote down while you were speaking and giving information. Very much appreciated. John Heading, candidate for city council, president-elect chamber, business owner, resident, family man, water conserver. So all of that good stuff. And, you know, I grew up in an era where water conservation was unnecessary, unheard of, and it was a paradigm that I had to shift in the last 10 years. And around myself, I see that happening not significantly at this time. So my first question is, with regard to the decisions that are made from a city standpoint and the changes that we might be making and the inputs that we get, is there a solid plan for communicating to the community, number one, those issues and the fact that we're in for a long-term issue with regard to water? That's point number one. And then number two, once that happens, that becomes a common understanding of the changes that are made, enforcement becomes, in my mind, a huge issue. What resources will you use? What resources do you have? And will you be accountable for reinforcing and holding people accountable that are not compliant with the standards that are developed? And so I just would like to call that to your attention. Not being an expert in desal or water, a couple of questions. One, desal plants I know are somewhat high cost with regard to energy. But, and maybe you talked about it earlier, have we thought about solar panel operation and provision of power for desal plants in the community? And are there opportunities there to convert to solar energy production as opposed to the type of energy production that we use now to run desal plants? I know that in foreign countries that is commonly being used as a means for water production in terms of desal and cleansing water. So that is just an open question. And then, you know, I just wonder from the staff standpoint, a lot of things have been mentioned. You know, I'm just curious as to what would you classify as the top three issues that you see that we are facing now that are immediately correctable, could be put into place, and would bring to us the biggest impact in terms of conserving water if we were to enact that. And so I very much appreciate the opportunity to hear the information and to participate in your program today. Thank you.
Do we have any further public comment? All right. With that, Rob, how would you like to talk a little bit more? Would you like the board to discuss things?
I think at this point, if the board has any questions based on public comment that they would like answered, just off the top of my head, solar for desal, we'd awful need an awful big solar farm to run those 150 horsepower pumps, but it's not undoable, and probably doesn't need to be right at the desal plant. You don't need to have it right next to where your use is. We do have a grid here to pump that electricity back in. It could be distributed. Maybe somebody, each person could put an extra panel on their house to help power the desal plant. Would be a kind of an out-of-the-box idea. As far as the three top ideas, one jumps to my mind, and I'm going to point to this. I feel like I'm selling Water Smart, but I think that's a very quick program that gives instant feedback to the community as to how they're doing. Something like that, where people would know how they're doing in relationship to their neighborhood, to the community as a whole, other things that they can do easily, reminding them of rebate programs that are available. Rates will pay for the rebate program.
Tim.
Coming on the heels of the last speaker, a month ago I was driving up Kern, and there was a man in his shorts and his Hawaiian shirt just hosing down his car and washing it, and I just was like, and I thought, I wanted to stop and tell him, hey, don't you know? But then I thought, I don't think that's my job. And I'd probably get hosed. But,
literally.
Yeah. And so, what is the policing of this? I mean, I think that's kind of extreme. I don't want to have the water police. I don't want to have people driving up and spying on their neighbors and going, ooh, you're using too much water. How do we kind of, you know, buff that so it's not quite so serious?
Yeah, we're working our way into that. In my view, every city employee is a code enforcement officer, and we have enough people that are out and about in the community that see things that, while maybe not part of their regular job duties, could do some education. I'm going to put it that way, rather than be the water cop. Do some education, you know, have a card or a pamphlet. I don't want to get too much paper out in the community either, you know, because we all get those water bill stuffers that tend to get recycled. But do some basic education. Did you know that there are different ways to wash your car? Maybe let it use my method, let it be dirty for 6 months at a time. You go to a different city to get your car washed. That was Rick's suggestion, but basically become, you know, our educational team and provide that information to the community. And we're not quite there yet doing that.
Okay, so basically what we're saying here tonight is that it is not the public's job to police their neighbors and their water usage, that we will have employees out and about that will probably... I think the city is doing a great job. I think that all of us citizens are really on the conservation road, but I don't want it to see it... I think we should make a statement that this is not... You know,
unless you know your neighbor and you feel comfortable approaching them and saying, you know, there might be a different way that you could do this. I wouldn't, you know, recommend you patrolling the neighborhood and doing that. But we are working our way towards that. And like I said, our goal is not fining people, but to conserve water.
I would just add that, you know, enforcement really is everybody's responsibility, but people don't respond to the stick nearly as well as they do the carrot. And so the best thing that we can do to encourage our neighbors is to present a good example and to talk about all the things that we're doing ourselves to conserve energy and water. In regards to the two other at the top of the top three, I would suggest, because irrigation is such a significant user of water, that we focus on our landscaping and consider replacing some of our landscaping with what's called xeriscape. It's the use of native plants that don't require watering or a very minimal amount of water. It's a great alternative. We started using this over 20 years ago down in Ventura County when I was working there with the Navy. Another area that is probably not nearly as acceptable and because it requires some change in behavior is the zero flow toilets. I don't think we're there yet because they do still have some attendant challenges with them, but if we get into a long-term drought scenario, that may be an alternative because our toilets are another huge consumer of water in our homes.
Real quick, I did want to bring up one thing, and I heard the recirculation system on the water heater in the homes, and I could speak from personal experience because I had one. And the reality is you are trading off energy for water, and so you are always keeping that water hot through the system, and your whole copper tubing in your house acts as a radiator and gives off the heat as it's flowing through it. So you're trading one conservation measure and hitting another. That kind of concerns me a little bit. Mine was with a solar water heater, so when it ran at a time when you were getting it from the solar, and that's a better example, but by the same much what I have. Thank you.
Steve, I like that suggestion, especially for we're trying to come up with an innovative solution for down on the waterfront to save water, yet still maintain a safe
and very little water. I've got one that's 3,000 PSI, and it's putting out 2 gallons per minute, and it can clean nobody's business in about 5 minutes. It works well, and it does really save water. And for most people with driveways, a lot of times the water is going to run off on their landscaping anyway. And it does sometimes serve a double use as long as it's not going down the street.
I'm very curious about this water smart idea, and I'm wondering if you have any idea on the costs of it and who pays for it. Is it something the city would pay for, and then or do residents pay for it? How does it work?
Well, everything we're talking about here is water, and water is an enterprise fund, so it needs to pay for itself. So it would come out through water rates. This particular program is for the first year, about $1.20 a month per customer. It drops to almost half of that the second year because they've seen most of their cities that they've dealt with. The highest cost is the paper delivery. And we only have about 200 customers that have shared their email addresses with us. So they drive customers to use email as a method of communication through this and the web page. And they don't have to mail out the flyers on a monthly basis. So it drops down significantly that second year. So that's, you know, we haven't got a final bid from them, but they gave us a kind of a approximate cost.
Another question, are there currently any requirements for the type of landscaping you can have in new construction or anything, any other kinds of requirements aside from the retrofit requirements?
Yeah, we have the state has a model landscape ordinance that the city adopted with the adoption of the California Building Code, so it does specify landscaping. It's probably not the most conservative that you can be. I mean, they don't prohibit lawns with it. But they do have, as Damaris pointed out, a square footage threshold. And before we get too much further, I want to thank Damaris for putting this information together for us tonight. She spent a bunch of time doing research and getting this information together, and will be one of the head of the team as far as moving forward on water conservation.
Great presentation, and I loved the variety of ideas. I want to put my bid or my 2 cents worth in for the washing machines because I went from 30 gallons in a washing machine load to 4. So that's another way to save.
got one of those, too.
Well, and with that, as I'm listening to folks in the public coming and talking and the board, one thing I think is really important is this public, this idea, and it sounds like we've got that going on, is public outreach and going out there and educating. I like it also that here in the audience tonight and whatnot, we have all the stakeholders here. We have community members, citizens, the contractors, business owners. And I think there's no one party in town. And so I think in terms of that public outreach, I like, and I think we're just going to need to see more of that, I do believe. The ideas that I hear that everybody were talking about, from non-potable water, the use for car washing, if we came up with some sort of systematic way of doing that, be it at first for city vehicles, fire, police. If we, I don't know if we can talk to the car wash people. I don't know how that would work with them here in town.
I think the car wash people use a recirculating system, don't they, on their spray washes. That's not new water going okay. through it. They recycle it and filter it.
All right. Well,
at least I think so.
We're not 100% sure whether all of our car washes are recirculating car washes.
And one thing that's coming up quite a bit are we're talking about our construction offsets that we've for toilet retrofits for years. But one thing we could do, and I do believe, I forget which gentleman it was that brought it up, in terms of the construction offsets, we could talk about gray water offsets, maybe introduce a new list of offsets that we could offer construction, new construction. I really like the fellow who said that we only have a certain number of houses being built per year. However, we do it over time and introduce these offsets, be they gray water, the toilets, not so much anymore, but we could talk about gray water, rainwater catchment offsets. Also, the idea of different water pumps, the recirculating one that was brought up, the different water heaters. And then the gray water with use of washer machine water, if we had some sort of a use, if we were going to come up with a list of what we could. Does anybody else, after hearing all of this, anybody else have any public comments you'd like to come up and share? Because we're just part of the community here. So, oh, please come on up. And just state your name.
Gar Salzgaber. I'm a new resident to the town. I came from Fismal Beach, and Grover Beach has a lot of percolation ponds, and I don't see very many here, and I'm just wondering why. It seems to be a no-brainer. Why, you know, I see a new park sort of in the city near the post office and has a couple of picnic tables there. It could have been a deep spot where the water could have been gathered.
No, thank you. That's a good so no other firm with comments. Rob, did you guys have anything further to add?
Just want to point out that if anybody out there that's watching wants to provide comments to us, all of our emails are on the website. It's first initial last name at morrow-bay.ca.us. So it's rlivick, R-L-I-V-I-C-K, at morrow-bay.ca.us.
Okay. And with that said, and the website is? Oh, sure, please. Gordon, come on up.
Some time ago, I bought some property in Cayucas, and the grass was taking too much water, so I put in the fake grass. And you walk over it, and you feel it, and it feels real. And it does something for you that's nice. It kills all the weeds. The weeds do not come up over it, but the rain, if it does rain, goes right through it. So that's one way to conserve water.
Thank you for that suggestion. And I think more important, I think this is really valuable that people come up with their ideas. And anytime, the idea of going through the website is a perfect one, and it is easy to negotiate the website. So please do that. And so with that, our meeting is going to be adjourned. Our next meeting, our regular meeting, is April 17th at 6 o'clock. Thank you very much, and we'll see you.